Welcome to the Aha Moment with
Erin Backus
and Irene Barber, where we talk to professionals in horticultural therapy and related fields, sharing their journeys of discovering the powerful benefits of working with plants. Sit back and enjoy some inspirational stories accompanied with laughter and refreshments.
Welcome back to the Aha Moment. My name is Erin Backus, and I have my co-host with me tonight, of course, Irene Barber.
Hello, hello. Nice to see you, Erin, and our guest, Garen Dorr.
Hi, good evening to you both, and welcome to everybody, all your listeners. Glad to be here tonight.
I know, it's so weird because we do it virtually, you know, so we can see each other, but listeners, they don't get to see our faces.
Except for our nice little photo moment.
Oh, yeah. Don't let me forget that. We do a photo at the end. You know, just so we have something to post. But you can definitely find our postings on Podbean. You can find it. I'm going to do a plug here. But you can definitely go to our Facebook pages. We typically share it there and LinkedIn as well. But Irene, I feel I know I just saw both of you actually a few weeks ago at the pop-up for NEHTN, but like we haven't done this. We took July off. It's been such a long summer, but it's also been a short summer. But I know you've been super busy with like watering. It's been so hot.
Oh yeah. And the summertime for the office is non-existent. It's all about being out in the field. Very little office work is actually completed. I only have time for emails. And then I got to get out and do our HT programming.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, that started up again. So speaking of your HT programming, Garen, you're actually an intern currently with Irene at the Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, correct?
I am. Yes, it's been a wonderful experience over the summer months.
So Garen is working on his horticultural therapy coursework with the Horticultural Therapy Institute, and he just received his associates in applied science and horticulture. Yay!
Thank you.
from Southern Maine Community College, but he comes to this profession from the hospitality field. So you have a bachelor's in communication and a minor in Black studies, and then you're in hospitality for many years and then just finally moved back to Maine. So we are very thankful to have a newcomer to this field of horticultural therapy. Tell us about your experience. So Irene, take it away. I'm done talking.
Oh no. No, you're not. It's just the beginning. So Garen, as you know, the title of our podcast is the Aha Moment. So we are just thrilled to have, as Erin said, young blood, as much as those who have experienced or been in hort therapy for 30 some odd years, whom we've had several guests representing that tenure. However, you're just a newbie to us, to the horticultural therapy world. And so we certainly are excited to hear about your more fresh approach to discovering your aha moment in horticultural therapy. So just tell us a little bit about that and we can keep exploring as we talk.
Okay. My journey with horticultural therapy started in, I guess, 2019. So yes, I'm very new to this new, wonderful, exhilarating, meaningful, oh my gosh, what else can I say?
Satisfying, gratifying, fulfilling,
all of the above. Exactly, all the adjectives. My coming to horticultural therapy, or to an understanding of what I think it is, started in kind of a dark period of my life that I needed to turn around and find a light. Mm. And this kind of, sometimes just life throws you a curveball or two, and you have to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And take certain opportunities arise, and you have to be aware of them and kind of be prepared to engage with them, because they'll show their happy little faces if you're paying attention. And then the ease of the process just comes to fruition. And that's where I stand today. Everything that the concept of which I really didn't understand now 2.5 years ago, almost three, has literally come to fruition in the very right moment, in a very, very right moment.
Can you share with listeners as to what that dark time was in order for them to understand a little bit of the relationship you have to horticultural therapy?
Yeah, it started in 2019. Well, it started before that. Is my mother's health had been in decline, about with cancer, spinal stenosis, and then finally in 2019 she had suffered a stroke. That was very debilitating. It was very eye-opening. And so I was traveling back and forth from West Coast to East Coast and trying to help out the family with that situation. And eventually just it came down to me moving back to Maine to help. And so while I was here, gotten a job in a restaurant, and it just wasn't meaningful to me. It wasn't making that connection. I was burnt out. I'd been in the industry for a very long time. And it's draining physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all the above after doing it for so long. And so I was looking at that with this break. I literally was standing in the vegetable garden, probably weeding it or throwing compost in the month of May of 2019. And I just kind of had this little epiphany of how do I meld the two worlds of hospitality and the love of that, which is really finding out people's stories, because we all have one. We all have a life story. And then the love of gardening. Mm-hmm. And I remember when in my travels, I had gone back to Portland, Oregon, and it was a rainy, gloomy winter day. And I was having to pack my life up, getting ready to move back. I was happened to be sitting and watching PBS, special, like a special weekend gardening show. I think it was actually Gardener's World. And there was
Monty Dawn.
Yeah, is that who? Monty Dawn. Yes. who I actually now have since started following on Instagram. Anyway,
exactly. Amongst the 300,000 other followers.
Yeah. But he had part of the episode was interviewing Kurt Hines at A.G. Rhodes, I believe, down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just kind of the first one of those moments of, okay, I was watching it. It seemed interesting. And it just kind of sunk in somewhere, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. I will just put that in the back of my head and then move on with life.
Mm-hmm.
And then now present day, here I am. And I'm really hoping that he's at the conference because I really want to introduce myself and say thank you for doing that show. But yeah, that's just one of those kind of pieces of when life shows you things, you better be listening.
And did you work with your mom on like a process of recovery or just helping her out in the house while you came back to Maine and interested in the gardening world, but seeing maybe this has anything to do with how your mom can, live at home and maybe she can participate?
And not only just her, is that I got my father involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I, after all her occupational and physical therapies and speech therapies kind of came to a close after I think it was like 3 months. And we're going into the summertime. I needed something for her to do. I couldn't just have her sit and not be exercising, sitting and not getting, you know, losing muscle mass, needing to work on her dexterity. So just thought, I was out in the garden with my dad and mentioned that I wanted to get her or build her a raised bed that she could certainly work on standing because she uses a walker. But at that time, she was very, very heavily dependent upon it. But I needed her to get outside. She's always loved the gardens. There's several here on the property. And so, but she couldn't bend over. She can't sit at a level of tending to a garden space. So we had to bring that up to her level where she could. And then it just became like a work on dexterity, fine motor skills with her fingers. She has tremors in her hands. So it was kind of, how can we make shift some tools? How can I just get her to stand for 30 seconds longer, a period? So yeah, she was very it was a combined effort, and I needed her to participate in it as well.
Did you find that she was voluntarily engaged, or did you have to kind of promote it or prompt it? Was she eager to get into the garden in some capacity?
Thankfully, she was. She loves being outside. She loves being in the sun. It's really mood changing for her.
And especially like I said, we're living in our caves all winter long.
Exactly. And seasonal depression does affect her. If we have one rainy day, she's, I love you, Mom, but she's a little whiny when it just, she's a sun lover. but it really was, and then also, especially with like herb gardens and such, is she loves to be in the kitchen. And so that was also something else, another layer I could add to it, is getting her back into the kitchen.
Right.
That hasn't worked out so well, but she loves to sit there and watch me cook and direct me and whatnot. But it's good, even just for her cognitive abilities.
What has the progress been for you and her relationship-wise in the process? Has there been a chance for the horticulture application to bring you guys a little closer together again?
Hugely bonding.
Yeah.
And having been away for 3 decades, yes, I'd come home for vacations and whatnot once a year, or every couple of years. And then COVID actually also hit during this period. So it was complete shutdown. Thankfully, we live out in the farmlands of Bodenham, Maine. So there's lots of space away from people, but we only had each other as a family, me and my mother and my father. So that was really a blessing in my opinion, because that's all we had. And because of COVID, all we wanted to do was farm. We just, we went into high mode of growing all vegetables. You named it, we grew it. And so it was a wonderful family bonding, 2020 really was.
So when you mentioned epiphany earlier, and then you saying that you had tucked that memory or that recognition of watching that Gardener's World episode, when was there a time where you're like, I do actually think I want to look into this some more about what is there such a thing as what it's called, horticultural therapy? I mean, did you come up with the realization that there is such a thing, or did you just do some more investigative work on like calling it different things like plant therapy, garden therapy?
I remember the episode, and like I was saying, I was literally standing in the vegetable garden and thinking of how I can meld the two worlds of hospitality industry and gardening.
Yeah.
Remembering that episode.
Okay.
And just remembering the term. But then how do I find out about this? What are the steps to become? In my little Taurus brain goes into focused, some may say stubborn, I say focused, mentality of how do I get from point A to point B? Well, horticulture is in the actual name, horticultural therapy. So let's start there. Let's go get a horticultural degree. Once that process all started and was just opened up a whole new world of information and knowledge and joy, you had to do class projects and such. That is really when I started digging deeper on a research level about what horticultural therapy consists of.
It, you know, it's really powerful too that, you know, the expression that when something bad happens, you know, a window, a door closes, another window opens or such, you know, not to wish any bad or injury upon anybody, you know, but the concept of making something good out of something that was not considered good at the time is what you ended up doing, you know, where the blessing that, you know, you had to be with your parents, to live with your family again. And although there comes those stresses of, you know, taking care and nurturing and making sure you're there for them, also gave you a chance to see and pause and reflect on yourself again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where I really don't. COVID was kind of a blessing because I think it did it universally for everyone to step back and take a moment and reflect on our lives and what is important in our lives. And I really do think it was an eye-opening experience for people, put us all in check of, well, family.
And family, the values, what's important to us.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and then in that respect, you know, you've had a career in hospitality for, as you said, a couple decades or however many.
I say generally since 1865, but.
Because, you know,
I use that time frame a lot, too.
I was a bar wench.
But like that concept of going back to school, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. And
like diving back enjoyable. Into that.
Much more enjoyable this time around. I have definitely a whole new appreciation for it.
Our intellect is a little better.
Absolutely. I just ate it up. I wanted and still do. I now don't want this to stop. I feel bad that school has started today and I'm not there.
Oh, is that right? The semester began at SMCC? Oh, well, you're going to be going back into, so you're currently taking classes at HTI, the Horticultural Therapy Institute, and starting September 14th, you are completing your last of the four classes. Is that correct?
I will be taking management, yes. And that will be wrapping up that.
So both Aaron and I are we gained our certificate, earned our certificate through that same program as well. But in the case where it was all in person, so you had to travel remotely to those locations. Garen, what is the format in which you're taking the classes?
I am taking it via Zoom. I think when I started it, which was pretty much a year ago, I think it was October, maybe November. No, yeah, it's literally almost a year ago. When I started, and I believe that it was all Zoom at that time, and then. In techniques like this spring, I believe they started opening up to be a either or. You could do in person or via Zoom.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So and this next course will be actually giving people the option of a hybrid. The mm-hmm. first part is everybody does it online, and then you have a choice for a second part to do it in person in Denver or online. I chose to do it online.
Mm-hmm. Now, I spoke to you actually about 2021 of March. Was that about right? You were at the horticulture, you were still doing your horticulture classes, but then you were like, I want to get into horticultural therapy specifically. Had you already begun taking a class at HTI, or was that just beforehand? I can't recall.
As
you said that, I'm wondering, I'm trying to remember. That must have been just beforehand.
I'm trying to think of when.
Well, anyways.
I mean, March of this year, I would have been in techniques, and then May would have been programming.
Yeah. So you hadn't taken any of those classes. So last year, Garen was an intern for the horticulture department at CMBG. So okay. he's gotten two different legs of experience in the applications of horticulture, one from the gardening and, you know, botanical garden application, to then more of a horticultural therapy internship this year. So,
which has been a wonderful layered experience.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And to be able to be blessed enough to have it all with Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens has really been, been a great experience. Love it. Love it.
So, when you were talking about plants and working with plants beforehand with your mom, mm-hmm. and then working with plants at the gardens, I think maybe we can segue into that point of discussion. Aaron, okay. if you want to take it from here and see, you know, ask him about those two. Go ahead, Aaron. Come on, Aaron. I'm giving in, Aaron.
Awfully quiet, Aaron.
Oh my gosh, Aaron.
Just messing. I told you that I was done talking. You know, some nights I want to talk, some nights. I'm just done.
Not let it be.
Oh, my stutter gets in the way too much sometimes. So Garen, what is like your go-to plant? I know that Irene's prepped you on this question because sometimes it can be so overwhelming for us horticulturalists to actually pick a plant, you know.
Exactly.
Sometimes they like narrow it down to at least like the species or genus, you know? So, but what is your favorite go-to plant when doing sessions or when working with, you know, people in general?
And that's a interesting question because I would think that there's definitely possibilities to expand the plant material with whoever the participant is or may be and what stimulates them to achieve a certain task or stimulates their senses. And I've certainly experienced that where some don't and others really fascinate people. And I'm going to go with that one for what I've worked with this summer.
I'm going to go with that one, Aaron.
Narrow it down.
What is this?
The coleus.
Has
been just a fantastic plant to use in several circumstances. And then you can also even dive deeper metaphorically with the brilliance of coleus in so many ways, but it really for cutting or, you know, pruning, you can use it as a wonderful teaching tool because the larger that it gets, the thicker the stem becomes, but it makes it more defined on teaching people like what a node is in the branching. and then how when you cut just above it, it, you know, it's a conversation about rebirth or regrowth, or if you need to talk about hygiene, you know, you can bring in, we all need a haircut every once in a while. So,
and then I never thought about the hygiene aspect.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sometimes you have to.
Trimming.
Yeah. But sometimes you have to.
Especially with facial hair.
Which gets, yeah. Yeah. Which I've been had comment about my beard and mustache before from a participant. He likes to focus on that every once in a while.
It is funny. Yeah.
But coleus has really been, well, even how we have it, and you could do this as well, is you could talk about boundaries, is how we have it, and we have it in a vertical garden space. And what is it? Is it set to be like a sunrise and the rays of the begonias, Irene? Is that what the concept?
Yeah, this was a like a radiating sun. So it was like the rays coming out of the sun from, so it's heuchera. Coral bells in the center, which is like a caramel color, had more like an orange yellow. And then we had tuberous begonias, tangerine and apricot picotee or something like that. And then the coleus, this one in particular, I can't remember the name of it, but it has like some gorgeous ombre variegation into it. So
it's lovely.
Yeah.
But it also impedes on the begonias.
It's an aggressor.
Needs a haircut every once in a while. But gotta, yeah, I mean, that's a whole
gotta cut
lesson.
That shit out, you know? Yeah. Cut it out.
Oh, we're using obscene words here. Yeah.
Wait, I can edit all this stuff.
No. We need it every so often. It's all good.
I think the realness, the people are wanting the realness. But yeah, I mean, the coleus has fascinated new participants.
They just can't believe that, like, you take a stem cutting and it will actually root. Right. You know, they can't believe that.
Throw it in a cup of water.
It is the easiest thing to root. I was rooting that thing in dead of winter with barely any sun. It is one of the easiest things to root.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to throw this in too, just for fun, because though people may see the commercials, but really not put it together, but having a stevia plant in the garden space has been, you want to see little children's faces, not even children, but adults, but to know that that sweetness can come from a plant leaf. It's mind blowing. And to see that expression come across someone's face,
the auditory sounds.
That's a good one. That's a good one that everybody should have in a tasting garden.
Good. Yeah. Good sneak attack. I like that.
What I do.
Surprise, surprise.
Watch out in the garden. Karen's sneak attacks.
Aaron, have you ever grown stevia?
I have. Yeah, no, I've definitely grown stevia before. Not my favorite plant to eat, but other people like it. But you know me and like mint. I don't really like basil. I don't like, you know, lavender, that kind of, I'm a little different kind of horticulturalist. I don't like those kind of things, but I use them because people love those things. Yeah. So stevia
is definitely you should say that. A few of our hort therapy participants this year don't like mint. And I have to say they were like, and you apparently are like the very few people I've ever communicated with who have expressed that. So, but sometimes the stevia is so strong. I've actually, and Garen, have you done this? Recommended to people to like go over and taste the mint, because it kind of like competes with the flavor and actually creates like this iced tea concept, you know, where you can have mints and sugar and so.
I noticed that you have been doing that. I personally should do that, like have a piece of stevia and then, because you're doing the chocolate mint, correct?
Yeah, it's the only mint that I've got in the garden is that chocolate.
I should do the stevia.
Parsley. You could say if you want to dull it down, use parsley because that will like really
cleanse the palate.
Aaron doesn't like that. Everybody, Aaron's giving a really bad facial expression.
That does. If you know me, you know my faces by now. I don't lie. My face is like, that doesn't sound good. Parsley and stevia?
Yeah.
Parsley is a palate cleanser. That's why it's at your dinner party.
I fully understand what it is. It just doesn't sound good when you have it, stevia.
Oh man, that's
but the mint, chocolate mint, and the stevia, I could see that in like a nice sun tea or whatever. I could see that.
Yeah.
And but one thing that I don't like about it in the Northeast is it's very temperamental to cold.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like we just grow it as an annual and call it good. You know, we don't have any. I think it's a zone 8 plant. I don't think it's anything hardy.
Oh yeah. First time of cold, it goes patook.
And then you have to like really break, like I always tell them to break the leaf apart and share it amongst the friends or family because a little bit goes a long way. So, and those are, as you were saying, Garen, metaphors too. It's like we have another plant in the garden called Corsican mint. Oh, I forgot about that. That's other mint. Mm-hmm. And that little thing is this creepy crawly. It's smaller than like creeping thyme. And that thing has so much punch. Yeah. It is incredible. And so it's like an opportunity to say, you know, little things come in or great things come in little packages or, you know, giving the,
it's like you small little container, but the big touch.
Ain't that the truth?
Yep. Narcissistic, but yeah.
That's not a narcissistic trait. That's a confidence trait. You're like, I'm small, but I got a punch, you know?
Yeah, that is for sure.
Meanwhile, everybody, Garen is 5'10", 5'11".
So. Yeah.
And I'm 5'1" and a half. Okay, so we have a different disposition in the garden.
Ooh, and I'm 5'2¾". So we're... But I think I'm shrinking in my old age, you know?
I just said the same thing today, Aaron. I just said the same thing. I think I used to be 6 foot, but now I'm 5'11". I'm like, it's starting.
You got to do those stretches. Garen, I'm so grateful that you were willing to be our guest on this aha moment conversation.
Sure.
And I think, you know, you've had one or two of these aha moments and, you know, there's a lot more to experience of aha moments to come. So I'm excited for you. And I think you're an amazing asset to our profession and we're really excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to see where my journey goes going forward.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for having me, both of you.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you everyone for listening and have a good night.
Bye-bye.
All right.